Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Divine Manifesting with Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
Hey, Christy, I'm doing so well today. How are you?
I'm great. I'm actually in New York City, and it is absolutely beautiful out, and I took a trip up to the Empire State Building and looked around, and the wind was perfect, and there's sun everywhere, and not a cloud in the sky, and it was just absolutely beautiful, so I'm feeling on top of the world.
Oh, that's one, literally, huh?
Literally.
That's great. Oh,
yeah.
Well, I'm over here on the other end of the coast in California, and I'll tell you what, sun is shining, it's so beautiful, so that's so neat to just envision that, oh my gosh, from coast to coast, we have beautiful weather, hopefully. At least in my mind.
That's how
it's playing out.
Absolutely. Well, today we are going to talk about how, you know, the issue that most of us don't even realize what's going on with us. You know, everyone wants that key to, you know, creating all that you desire in life. And, you know, with all the research that you and I have done in the book that we've created, The Fairest One of All, for the past 5 years, and it's finally getting published. Yay!
Yay!
yay! Anyway,
I know. A little champagne, imaginary champagne glasses are being raised right now. Yay!
Exactly. Oh. It's exciting when something like that happens. But the one key ingredient that most people don't realize that's missing is self-love. And so today on our show, we're going to talk about self-love and what it really means to have self-love and what self-love is not and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, most of us are looking to create our lives with ease and effortlessness, I should say. We're all trying to create more space, time for ourselves, have more fun, and even experience more freedom. But the problem is that most of us have such full lives, and we don't have the time to give to ourselves because of the demands of our families, friends, and even work. So, you know, it's like that time that we could just cut out a little bit of the portion of the day to just give ourselves, to recharge ourselves, really makes a huge difference in what we create. Wouldn't you agree, Rebecca?
Absolutely. And I want to interject something. I think that, you know, in this moment in time, things really have speeded up. Even think of 100 years ago. Things were so much slower. You know, the pace that we were supposed to keep up was a lot slower, even though maybe 100 years ago people were still getting a lot done and we didn't have all of the tools and technology to make our lives easier. In many ways, I think the technology has made our lives just busier. I mean, we have, you know, snail mail to go through and emails to go through and cell phones, you know, to return calls and regular phones. And, you know, it just feels like the energy is coming at us all the time. And when I speak to people, that is the one thing they're always saying to me. It's like, it seems like time is collapsing, and where do I find a moment to breathe and to, you know, to just even be single-minded and get one task done at a time? It seems like we're just multitasking. And so I think in this day and age, it is even harder to carve out that time to connect with ourselves, to take care of ourselves and nurture ourselves. And you're right, Christy. It is the key ingredient to manifesting. How we feel about ourselves is what we end up, you know, creating in our life experiences. And so I know you and I say that all the time on this show, but I think it is so, so very true. And as a single mother, you know, I think there's so many of us out there that are just giving in 20,000 directions. For instance, I just had my group of women meditating with me this morning. I teach a meditation class. And I was feeling the same way. I thought, wow, I just really need this morning. I'm pulled in 12,000 directions. And the first woman came in, and I'm like, hey, how are you? And she's like, pulled in a million directions. And as each person came in, it was like, oh, thank God I'm here. I just feel so, like, pulled out of myself. And I thought, I think that's just a general theme for most people, not just for women, but for most people. So,
to piggyback on what you're saying too is that, you know, even like our kids, you know, how I speak in colleges and high schools, and you know, those kids are in a day and age where they've got video games, they've got email, they've got all these different technologies coming at them that mm-hmm. it's hard to just slow down and find joy in the simple things,
right.
Like, you know, being in nature, spending time with yourself. I mean, taking a nice bath, doing those things that are like the simple pleasures. It's almost like our brains have gotten rewired where it has to be this like big dramatic, you know, fast-paced, you know, technology type of stuff. And we're having a hard time just slowing down and taking those really beautiful connection moments with nature, with ourselves.
That is such a good point, because as somebody who homeschooled her kids, that is the main benefit that I found from homeschooling, is that I refused to be one of those moms who scheduled her kid from 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night. You know, I was really a huge believer in the power of downtime, and I love seeing my kids spend a lot of quality downtime, alone time with themselves. And that's their time to you know, recharge themselves. Well, even if they're not doing anything productive, quote unquote, you know, that they're really just sitting, not watching TV, not plugged into something, but just with themselves. Go mow a lawn. Go take a walk. Go sit in your room. You know, let the sun shine on your face for a little bit. Those are just really quality moments, and I think that was a really important point that you make, is we really are teaching our children to be phenomenal multitaskers and to be constantly plugged into something, to go from soccer to piano to, you know, tutoring, and that's after an 8-hour day at school, and it's ridiculous. We don't have any quality downtime, and by that I mean time to reconnect with Source, time to reconnect with ourselves, and so very vital. It's, you're right. It's like we've almost rewired our brains where we don't even know what that means. And I know you probably have found this in your coaching clients, that sometimes you ask people, you know, when do you have time? When do you create time in your day to connect with yourself? And the look on their face is almost blank, like you're joking, right? What does that mean? You know, can you say that to me in English? Because I have no idea what you're talking about. So it's almost been programmed out of us to give ourselves those quiet moments of just me time, just time to be with me. Yeah.
And even when you say that, even to go another step further, is that, you know, I'll talk to my coaching clients and say, well, you know, basically what we talk on the show, you know, your outer reality is a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself. And it's important that you cultivate self-love, because when you are in self-love, when you're either loving yourself or loving another, you know, you are in total absolute connection with Source, because Source absolutely loves you. And, you know, when you're in that place, then you are in the flow of the universe. And their next question is, well, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And it just blows me away. And, you know, I'm one of those people, too, that I'm, you know, I wasn't always this happy and joyful and definitely full of self-love. I mean, and, you know, I have my days, too, where I'm not, for sure, but it's something that I had to learn. It was a skill that I had to learn. And, you know, I know that you were a big help in helping me learn that.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Rebecca, you're amazing.
Yeah.
And you totally got me in touch with my goddessness.
Oh,
and,
Christy, thank you. Well, you know, but the thing is, you were born with that. Don't you think, Christy, as children, we knew how to be in that world, and we were just conditioned out of it. So now it really takes conditioning to get it back in shape, you know. But there was an original time where I think we were very much in love with our little reality around us, and we were completely self-sufficient and completely, I mean, I think back to up until probably the age of 4, where I was just in love with, you know, my imagination and my world around me, and then it was programmed out of me. I was almost taught to look outside of myself and to grow up. And now, you know, in the last few decades, I've been conditioning myself back inward, where, you know, I think that when I talk to people, what they're searching for is that still small voice within. But, you know, you have to get really quiet, and you have to be very directed inward to even hear that voice of guidance and wisdom. And too many of us are, wow, we're out there in the noise, in the chaos and confusion, and it's like, what'd you say? Who? What? Small voice? Where would that small voice be? I can't hear it through all this noise, and I've got to do my emails anyways. So how can we be guided, and how can we, you know, be protected even, when we're not listening to that one, the greatest sort of guide that we have within. So I think you and I are very, very dedicated and committed, wouldn't you say, Christy, to getting people back to that place of center and back to
Awesome.
Loving yourself so deeply that you are always in connection
Absolutely.
With the still small voice within. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'd like to talk on the show today is, you know, when people hear the word self-love, they think, well, they're, you know, it's kind of arrogance or, you know, can being conceited and stuff like that. Do you want to talk about, you know, what self is self-love is not, like, you know, versus
Absolutely.
Self-love versus arrogance?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Christy. I know it is a real challenge for so many people to cultivate self-love because they confuse it with conceit. And I know I was there, too. When we hear the term, we think of a narcissist, someone who's so full of themselves, that boastful and condescending person who is all about me. And, you know, the last thing we want to be is that person or, you know, that image in our mind, you know, that, of that person who thinks they're better than everybody else or who acts like as if the world owes them something. And I think, you know, we all have that image, and I think we've all been very programmed also to not be selfish. You know, think of others, you know, where, again, we don't want to be egocentric. We don't want to be coming from that, you know, magnanimous ego self that is arrogant. This is very different. I think, you know, self-love is not egotistical. It's not arrogance. It's not certainly not selfish or narcissistic. But I think because we're so afraid of feeding that beast, we steer clear of anything that has to do with us. But the thing, you know, I've heard this said and I really love that. This, I think it was Abraham who said it, to be self-centered is to be centered within oneself. And what better place is there to be than to be centered and to be absolutely complete and connected within oneself? And that has nothing to do with those negative connotations of being so self-centered. You know, really, you know what I'm saying, Christy? So,
oh, totally, yeah. Being self-centered has such a, you know, a negative, we don't want to be self-centered. We're told not to be self-centered, especially, you know, we're groomed that way as women, you know. You don't want to be so self-centered and you know, conceited and that type of thing. And so we're like you said, we're conditioned away from that self-love. We're conditioned away from feeling that magnificence that we once knew and were connected with.
Right.
And, you know, it's really a shame because it's in that place where you are connected with Source.
Right, and where you end up manifesting everything. I feel like, you know, to the extent that we love ourselves, what we're really loving, I know Wayne Dyer talks about this, what you're really loving when you love yourself with a capital S, you love that, you love your, you know, your higher self, is you're really loving the one that created you. You're honoring and paying homage to the one that created you. And so it really is so important when we are, you know, so grateful for the amazing qualities and the gifts that we bring, that's when we are in the best position to serve others. But also, it's like that's when we are the most deserving. And so when I think of it that way, it feels like that's when my arms are wide open, ready to receive all the gifts that are, you know, possibly coming my way. If I don't feel deserving, if I'm, you know, afraid of being self-loving and self-gratifying and self-centered, I'm just afraid of all those things, and my arms are very closed. I'm not nurturing and I'm not deserving, so therefore I'm not manifesting any of the greatness that should be mine, I'm deserving and desiring of. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about what self-love is then, because we've talked about what it isn't. So self-love is loving yourself and accepting yourself as you are right now. It's not when you lose 20 pounds. It's not when you get a college degree. It's not when your kids go to college. It's not when you get a promotion. It's not when you manifest your dream house. It's loving yourself and accepting yourself as you are right now. It's being kind, considerate, and loving to you, regardless of anything going on without you. It's your relationship between you and you. And it's treating yourself with respect and unconditional acceptance. It's that unconditional acceptance, again, that doesn't have to do with anything that's outside of yourself. It doesn't matter how successful you are. It doesn't matter if you've made mistakes or failed at something, or, you know, what I always put in quotes is failed, because every, quote, you know, failure is an opportunity for growth. But it's treating yourself with that respect and that unconditional acceptance. It's listening to your own wishes, goals, and dreams. And it's making yourself feel special and cherished and not wanting someone else to do this for you. I know many times as women, we look towards our men, and I know men do this too, look towards our partner to make us feel better about ourselves. We look to be fulfilled, and we look to as our partner, as our source of our self-confidence. And that truly cannot be the case, because your self-confidence comes from within. It comes from self. And when you are in this place, you're recognizing, celebrating your own successes, when you're really being open and honest with yourself, you're willing to express yourself and speak your own truth, and you are completely connected in heart, mind, body, and soul with you, that is self-love.
Absolutely. If you haven't learned to recognize, and that's what we're talking about, I think most of us have been pulled out from that space, but if you haven't learned to recognize and honor your individual and unique strengths and qualities, then you have to go to such great lengths. That's what you were talking about, Chrissy. You then have to go outside of yourself to find it, and you know, then we become masters at manipulation. And I say that, you know, with all due respect, but we do. I mean, we become masters at convincing others to give us that validation. And it saddens me so much. I know I have a 15-year-old daughter, but because she's been homeschooled, she's so far, at least, knock on wood, has not gotten into those games. Plus, you and I both know Chrissy. She's just like such a goddess.
So, wait a minute. You just totally freaked me out. She's 15.
She's 15.
Oh, my God. Am I getting old or what? I get up, you said 15, and I'm like, no, she's 11.
No.
My God.
But she is such a consummate goddess. I mean, that girl does not give it away. Ooh, she is such a teacher to me. A sister, don't give it away. You know, it is yours, and you vibrate in that, and you do not sell your soul to anybody. But I really see, you know, little girls who started in kindergarten with her, you know, working their way up through Girl Scouts, and it was like just a certain time where the girls started giving it away. It's like, am I pretty enough? Ooh, which boy likes me? And I thought that really comes from the fact that they've allocated their love to others. They've allocated their sense of self. They've given away their power because they're not loving themselves. They're not cultivating that self-love within and that, you know, that sense of self and their confidence and all of, they haven't been feeding all of those qualities. It's almost like now they have to go to somebody else to give them what they have fail to take care of themselves. They're looking to the outside world to provide them with something they've been withholding from themselves. And that, you know, that is just ultimately such a waste of our time and energy. We're drained because we're always looking around us going, am I okay? Am I pretty enough? Am I sweet enough? Am I sexy enough? Am I funny enough? I mean, you know, tell me, validate me. And all of those things can go away when we're looking within and giving those qualities to ourselves, when we're the source of our strength and we're the source of our validation. You know, we don't need others. Then I think the relationships become very pure because we're not trying to manipulate people out of, you know, we're not trying to convince them of anything. We're just loving them purely for who they are.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's when we haven't acknowledged our own beauty and magnificence that we just really look to others to acknowledge us. And you know, let's face that, just sets us up for all sorts of dependency issues. And, you know, and I know y'all know what I mean because we've all visited that state, you know.
And even what you're talking about, I mean, it leads to, you know, doing this leads to female competition or competition in general.
Oh,
I had a coaching client last night that was just saying that, you know, she's moved out to LA and she just took my abundance course. And it amazes me because she's like, you know, since I took the course, I literally doubled my quota in sales. I'm getting a raise at work, and I just got 2 paid acting jobs. And yet she was beating herself up because she was going to a wedding and she was comparing herself to all of her friends that are married, have children, and, you know, and she was feeling down on herself and just beating herself up because she's not where they are. And I said, you know, you made a choice for your own life. When you sit there and compare yourself to, you know, who has the success trophy, okay, who has the family with husband and, you know, 2.5 kids trophy. I mean, when you start doing that, when you start comparing all the different aspects of your life to your friends or to, you know, another amazing successful woman or whomever, you know, it's such a bad game to get in because, you know, if you kind of win at the game for a moment, maybe you get the success trophy because now you're an actor and your friends are, you know, just a housewife. And I mean that, I don't mean just a housewife because housewives are very important, but I'm saying like in the success game of being out there and being successful, if you feel like, ha, I won that trophy, it's very short-lived and it's very empty and it comes at the expense of somebody else. And at the same time, if you find yourself, you know, comparing, well, you know, they have the house and they have the this and they have the that, you then feel bad about yourself. And it's that comparative game. It's like you get to choose for you, for your life, what you want. And you chose that. And that's the direction you're moving in. But when you start looking outside of yourself at your friends, you know, she's thinner than I am. She's got, you know, bigger boobs than I do. Or, you know, he's got more success than I have. Or, you know, or she's doing better on her spiritual path than I am. I mean, even people that are on the spiritual path compete with each other for the spiritual path. You know, being in yoga, I see this all the time. Women are, like, looking over at each other and, you know, trying to see who's got a better downward dog. I mean, it's just, it's amazing what we compare ourselves to. And did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, you know, the funny thing is, I know you and I are just completing the book, and, you know, I can feel the passion in you as you're talking about it, which is so great because I feel the same passion. The sad thing is most people don't even realize that this is the game we're all playing. It's almost like so unconscious that for some people, you know, they're very clear. It's like, oh, yeah, women do that all the time, and I think guys do it too, but not to the extent women do. And, you know, and I think there are a lot of us who really get, oh, yeah, we totally play that game. But it's just so funny that, you know, in talking to people about this book, there are those who don't even recognize that we're doing that. And if they don't recognize what the game is, how can you possibly realize the price you're paying? And you're right, Christy, you can get that win. You can get that five-minute win of, ha, I won. I got it. Better downward dog. And then you're going to leave that yoga studio and see somebody with prettier legs or a better boyfriend or a nicer car, and it's like, damn it, you know? And so playing that game is just ultimately so defeating, and it so robs us of self-love. It just takes us right out of what we need to be focusing on. It feels like it just takes us straight from that little sanctuary of, you know, I'm magnificent and I'm glorious and I'm connected to all that is, and as are everybody else on this planet, you know, it's like it takes us from that really wonderful place to how can I get the next best thing? How can I, you know, how can I get there? And it's, I just think that's why so many people struggle with depression and anxiety and, my goodness, eating disorders and addictions and, you know, it's
shopping.
Like we've just forgotten who we are, and we've forgotten to be focused on that loving, magnificent, you know, part of each of us that lies deep within. And I think that's exactly when we talk about self-love, it's a noun, but it's also a verb. It's the action of, you know, directing ourselves inward, turning our attention to the true source of our strength, and being more mesmerized with going within to where we are, you know, where the fix isn't 5 minutes. It's really having the commitment and the desire and the realization that my true source of all things wonderful lies within, and I need to keep my attention there versus, ooh, nice car, you know, oops, back out again, you know, so I think true.
I love what you just said. You just said it's a noun, but it's also a verb. And I love that you just said that. It's the first time you've ever said that, and it's like, ooh, that just really hit me, because it is. It's how you live your life. It's how you, you know, it's the action that you take in your life. It's how you hold your energy. I mean, you know, it's like living from a place of a higher you know, beautiful vibration where you're attracting things to, you know, to being out of self-love, lack of self-love, and attracting the negativity. It's when we're, you know, critical. I mean, you know, we can just talk about it. It's when you love yourself and appreciate your body will become more lean and beautiful. Your clothes are better. Your skin will feel tighter, smoother, more beautiful. It's when you're in self-love that your partner provides you more love, affection, and attention. But it's not because you're looking outside of yourself to get it from him. He or she, a lot of us, all of a sudden start giving it to you because you're already filled up. And it's more that attractive thing. When you're in that place of self-love, people are attracted to you.
But Christy, let me ask you this, because I know this happens to me all the time. When I'm running that energy of self-love, have you ever just like glanced in a mirror, been walking by something, and you glanced in and you're like, damn, I'm good looking.
Yeah.
I am hot. And it has nothing to do with I'm, you know, 20 pounds up or I'm, you know, it has nothing to do with that. There is an inner glow that comes through that you just catch yourself and you go, well, hello, gorgeous. You know,
it's a radiance that comes from your soul, and it just comes out from you. And yeah, we've talked about that. I mean, I can tell, like, when I go to conferences and when I speak to people. This past week, and I was this past week I was in Iowa doing a college conference, and just really in that space of just loving myself and really having downtime to meditate and bringing in that love and light. And I had he's a speaker, and he's an Indian man, a Native American Indian, and he speaks on diversity and things like that. He was just like so in, like, you know, when you get that, oh my God, the goddess kind of energy. And I mean, no matter what I did, if I was taking a bite of food, I would look up and he would just be like, oh, you know, like he was just so in the awe of the goddess kind of thing. And it's just so funny because I've noticed when I'm out of that place, you know, I almost feel unseen.
Well, and I'll take it a step further. I feel ugly, you know, like, you know, it has nothing to do with how much weight you have on or the clothes you're wearing or the amount of makeup. I mean, I know most women who are listening, you know, it's one of those days where I don't know, care how much makeup I'm piling on. It's like I'm looking like a two-bit hooker, and it's just not working, you know.
And, well, you actually are. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, we're talking about my night job now, but that has nothing to do with my day job. But, no, the truth is, you know, we all have had those moments where, you know, it's like it's just not working. What is going on with me? And it's because I've been running either self-deprecating thoughts, or I've been down on myself because of my weight, or I've just neglected to feed myself, you know, emotionally, like good energy, that no matter what I'm doing or no matter what I'm wearing, or it has nothing to do with that. It's like, where's the glow? It's gone. You know, and the minute that I can come back to, you know, oh, baby, you've lost the loving feeling, you know, and I can come back to really talking, doing that, like, you know, you are good, whatever it is, you know, really self-love talk and finding things about myself that I really do cherish. All of a sudden, you know, it's like, again, I'll catch myself off guard as I'm walking by a mirror. I'm like, again, you know, hello, gorgeous, you're back. So it's fun that it really does change our outer reality. And so that's just our bodies. But, you know, I think you and I in our workshop really, really just drill down and focus in on a huge area that I think women are so critical of, and that is their bodies. I mean, we just oftentimes think of our bodies as such catastrophes, and we fail to really take every single little square inch of ourselves and cherish it and love ourselves inside and out. I mean, I'm talking from our, you know, the beating of our heart to our physical appearance. And it really does make such a difference, because I think that is such a huge area that women are overly critical about themselves. They are just so judgmental. And I would almost say women are very, very brutal with their looks. And, you know, and I think there's many men out there who are, you know, becoming less than nonchalant when it comes to their looks. They're starting to groom and take themselves very, very seriously. And not that that's a bad thing, but when we then become so critical and harsh with ourselves, I think it's just a way to kind of pick up the old club and beat ourselves up instead of, using our bodies as an opportunity to cherish ourselves and honor and revere ourselves for having these wonderful little vehicles that get us zipping through life. So
absolutely, yeah. It's like the self-deprecating stuff. It's like being in a boxing ring with you and you, and
mm-hmm.
you're losing. You know, it's just
yep.
It's just so self-defeating. So yeah, but you know, I know for myself, like when I'm in self-love, I am more inspired. I have more, you know, creativity for my career. I get more clients. You know, it's just things. I'm more inspiring as a coach, and even as a more passionate as a speaker. You know, it's when things just absolutely flow. Money, opportunities, everything just flows because you are literally in the flow because you are connected with you and you
right.
being your higher self, you know, source. And you know, it's you're in that self love that people don't upset you as much. They don't seem to knock you off. You know, feeling good like that. You don't get affected by their energy as much. You're more confident and secure type of thing.
And you're just happier. I just think you're just happier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like I'm good with my best friend. You know how when you're just in good with your partner in life where all of a sudden you're in sync and the world just is right because you and your partner are like, oh, we're right there. You know, we're just in sync today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and that's what it feels like. It feels like when I am in that flow of self-love, I am so good with my best friend. That best friend just happens to be me. And, you know, she thinks I'm hilarious.
She thinks I'm all that.
She totally gets my jokes, you know. And so it doesn't matter if anybody else gets them. You know, she's like going, you're a funny girl. So I love her because she's just, when I'm in good with her, she's totally validating me all the time. You know, it's like, you know, you're so good. She's like my best cheerleader. So it really is. And we all know that feeling when we're in love, when we first fall in love, or when we're totally in sync with our partners. It feels like the world is right. All is well with the world, and all is just flowing to us. And you know, gosh, all those Hollywood stories or romance novels they write, you know, it's true. When we're in that flow of love, everything just feels like the sun starts to shine and everything turns to, you know, color from black and white. But we can be there with ourselves when we start to train ourselves to be in love with ourselves and not from that narcissistic perspective, but from the true source of our strength, to be in love with our journey. It's almost like I want to say, you know, it's being in love with our journey, the mistakes, the, you know, successes, it's being in love with it all as we are in our totality that makes, you're right, Christy, such a difference. And from there, we're naturally in alignment with the, you know, with the vibration of the universe, and therefore everything seems to just flow. You're just happy. And, you know, and I'm really getting that at such a deep level that it's when you're in that space of just contentedness, you're just happy, that things seem to just slide right down to you so easily.
Absolutely. Well, it's also, you know, again, it's like that, it's that going with the flow, because you're in, like you said, you're in the flow of the universe. But it's almost like, even in like a simpler term, when, you know, someone is to come up to you and say, you know, you're just a bitch or you're just a jerk. I mean, it doesn't feel good to have someone say that to you, or, you know, you're not doing it right, or, you know, that's just not good enough. It just doesn't feel good.
What were you thinking? God.
Yeah. You know, nice screw up, or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And
yes.
But those are some of the things that we say to ourselves.
Oh, Christy, so, don't you think we say those things to ourselves all the time? And not just once. Those tapes keep replaying over and over and over again. And I know you know that any of us could drum up a tape that we've been playing since childhood. Like, how could you have broken your aunt's glasses? You know, with such a bonehead move. You know, I mean, we're still playing those tapes. So keep going. You're absolutely right. Boy.
Yeah, and, you know, when someone tells you, gosh, you know, you really are so wonderful. I'm just so glad you're in my life. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they say those, you're just such a goddess, or you're such a wonderful, you know, you're such a warrior, or whatever it is. I mean, those things feel good. And so it's like you, instead of waiting for somebody else to tell you those things, you say those things to yourself. You know, you start recognizing the places where you know, you're doing well. I mean, you know, like looking for the little successes that you have. I recommend doing a success journal where, you know, like five times a day or, you know, write down at the end of the day, you write five things that you did that was a success, just even like a little success. Maybe you called your mom and you had a nice conversation with your mom and you felt like, wow, I really stayed in my center with my mom that time, you know, where maybe typically you wouldn't have. Wow, that was a success. You know, maybe I went for a walk today. That was a success. Maybe I just took time to sit and be with me for 10 minutes. You know, that was a success. It doesn't have to be this, wow, I got a promotion, and wow, I doubled my sales, and,
even
you know,
writing
and all that.
Even writing in the success journey has to be at the top of your list.
You know,
hey, I even got the pen and paper, and I'm writing in my success journal.
Exactly. Just little successes where you can notice the positive things that you've done today, that you've said to yourself. Maybe you had an awareness that, you know, wow, this is a pattern that I do in my relationship, or this is a pattern that I do at work that's really sabotaging me or really self-defeating. I really would like to change that. Just having that awareness of that pattern, that's a success. And, you know, if we can really just stop and honor ourselves all day long and just check in with ourselves and be that best friend to ourselves, you know, it, like you said, it's, we can be with our partners and not have them, you know, there to try to fulfill us or fill us up or be our source, because we're already fulfilled from within.
I think that when I work with couples, that is the number one thing, the dynamic that I see in couples is one or the other is always feeling unfulfilled or neglected. Mm-hmm. So somebody's always abandoning. It's not always the woman being abandoned by the man. It's one of the two in the partnership feels neglected or abandoned. And and you're absolutely right. When we start to learn to fulfill ourselves and to, you know, satisfy and satiate ourselves emotionally, we won't look to our partners to, you know, feed me, nourish me, validate me, fulfill me. And I think relationships will naturally blossom at that point. Our whole conversation today with my meditation group was all about that. It's where, you know, you really start to find those people in your life who just constantly want something from you because they've forgotten how to give that to themselves, that they have all the resources within themselves and they're capable of filling themselves up from the inside out. So, you and I've talked about this so much, Christy, and I know we just go in depth in our workshop about this, but, you know, if we could learn to talk to ourselves the way that we speak to our children, hopefully the way we speak to our children.
Some people don't speak to their children all that well. Like when I'm in the grocery store and people are like screaming at the kids, I'm like, holy moly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, ideally. But, you know, for so many of us, though, we are so loving when it comes to our kids, and we're so, you know, honoring and forgiving of their little mistakes. You know, they trip and they fall and we're like, uh-oh, get back up again. You're doing great. You know, or try again, sweetheart. You're okay. And we're so, you know, this little sing-songy voice and we're so sweet. And even my 19-year-old, you know, I'm so validating to him. And, you know, it's like, it's okay if you're struggling and, you know, just try harder, and besides that, you're wonderful, and that's all that matters, and, you know, and if the people are just blessed to be around you because you're such an awesome spirit. I mean, the things I say to my kids are so loving and so sweet, and I think, you know, boy, if I could give myself one-tenth of the comments that I say to everybody else, I'd be like just, you know, lying. But you're right. Mostly what I say to myself is, how could you have done that? What, you know, what were you thinking? Boy, they so didn't get you, you know. And it's like, if I really listen to that critical voice, it's so loud and it's so mean. And then as I've really learned to tame the critical voice, it just gets much more sophisticated. So now it doesn't say, boy, you're just a dumbass. Now it's like, you know, I really think they said it better, you know, or whatever it is, and it's like, really? So, really.
You know what I caught myself saying today, which I couldn't believe? I was floored, because it's amazing when you can get to that point where, you know, most of us walk around a day, we're doing our stuff, and but it's like when you really take that time to pay attention to what the thoughts are, to be that witness to the thoughts, and, you know, Eckhart Tolle, however you say his last name, talks, Tolle, thank you, says that in The Power of Now, is that, you know, really being that witness and being present in the moment and then just kind of being that witness and listening to the voice. And I did that today, and all of a sudden I heard my say, you know, are you ever going to be happy? And I just almost like looked at myself, almost like there was another person next to me, and I kind of looked at myself, but I wasn't looking at myself. I just kind of, you know what I mean? It was just a weird thing. I just kind of turned my head and went, what? You know, I'm usually very happy. Why would I say that to myself? But
yes.
I think it's like that old programming
yes. In
the back of our minds. But even just saying something like that, you know, are you ever going to be happy?
Imagine it was saying that, though, to the people you love. Imagine,
yeah. Would
we ever give ourselves permission to speak so harshly? I mean, I don't know about anybody else on this call. I would never give myself permission to and feel good about myself saying that to my children or the people that I love. It's like, you know, what is wrong with you? That's just horrible. And yet, you know, thank goodness you are mastering your thoughts and you're catching them, Christy. But that is exactly what we say to ourselves. We're brutal.
You know what? The thing is, though, is that I might not ever say that to, like, my partner, Frederick, or maybe not say that to you or my, you know, parents or anybody else, my best friends, or whomever. I might not ever say that. But the thing is, if that energy of just criticism is within me, I'm not just criticizing myself. I mean, that energy is there.
Yes.
So, I mean, without even opening up my mouth, that's the energy that I'm giving out into
yes. My
relationship. And,
exactly. You
know, when you can get the real, true relationship back in the space of love and appreciation and gratitude and just, you know, that just absolute respect and, you know, acceptance, and that's with you, the rest of your relationships will absolutely transform. Because when you have that critical voice within, you're going to attract a critical partner. You're going to attract a critical boss. I know when I had bosses, you know, I always had someone that was a boss that was really critical. No matter if I could stand on my head and paint that, you know, paint the Sistine Chapel, it was just, you know, no matter what you did, it was never good enough. And until I went inside and got that, it's just never good enough with you, you know, everything needed a shift. And that's when things would shift in the outer reality. And now that I'm my own boss, I have to really be careful of that, because if, you know, I'm just beating myself up all the time that, you know what, that speech was good, but it could have been better, or that radio show was good, but it could have been better, and constantly beating myself up and not looking for the, you know, the positive things that I said or what I did right and really celebrating those successes, I mean, it's just, I'm constantly going to be feeling down because it's never good enough.
And conversely, one of the best exercises, I know you and I have been working on this thing called self-love for over five years now, but when we started, one of the best exercises I started implementing in my life, and I know I've said it before because I just feel like I'm constantly putting it out there, is I started really taking hold of my thoughts and making a choice. I'm either going to allow the critical voice to speak to me, or I'm going to allow the loving voice to emerge. And it's almost like I'm going to keep dialing in the radio station of the self-loving voice. And one of the most loving things that I learned to say to myself is, you know, when I was sort of beating myself up over, again, like you said, not having done something good enough, or thinking I did really well, but somebody else's opinion was, yeah, so it's all right. You know, and then I'd start like, oh, it's only all right. You know, one of the things I started saying to myself is, sweetheart, did you do your best? Because that's what I would have said to my children. Well, did you do your best? You know, what was your intention? And it's always like it would just bring me to tears, because when I really searched my heart, it was like I tried so hard. I just meant to love them. I just really wanted them to feel better. And whether they received that or whether it turned out that way, when I would really stop myself, instead of judging and constantly, you know, that self-evaluation, well, how did it turn out? How did it turn out? When I would just stop myself and go in the most loving voice I had, sweetheart, what was your intention? Did you do your best? My answer was just, again, it would bring me to tears, was always, I tried so hard. I really just wanted the best in this situation. And it's like, well, then that was perfection. Well, then that was absolutely, you know, that's all I'm asking of you. And it would always land me in that very, very, you know, soft place in my heart where you do try so hard. You do give everything you have. And that doesn't mean it's always received, and that doesn't mean it always comes out shining and wonderful. But you do try really hard, and I recognize you. And that was just like, oh, that's good enough. There's somebody in my space. There's somebody in my court who really gets me. And it's me, you know. So you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
Christine?
Not to interrupt you, what you just said was really key, though. We've talked about that on the show before. It's that law of abundance and sufficiency, and it is enough. It's
mm-hmm.
like, you know what? What you're doing right here, right now, what you have in your life, it's enough. What you just did you do your best? Great. If you did your best, then it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you gave it all, if you gave it 100%, you can't give 110%. It used to crack me up when I was in corporate America, and they'd say, well, did you give 110? It's like, there is no 110. There's 100.
You're like me. That bugs me. That is that everybody said, I gave 120. And I'm like, you cannot give 120. That's me yelling at the TV, and my daughter's always like, they can't hear you. You cannot give 130. It doesn't trump 140. There is only 100%. There's a connection, Christy. You and I are minds.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
Absolutely. Well, we only have, less than 10 minutes left, so I definitely want to at least offer the program to everybody. We are offering a very special price today because you are our listeners, and we have only 3 spots left for the course. But loving yourself is really just the greatest answer to any problem that you have, and literally becoming the master of your life. And the more love you give yourself, the more others will naturally give their love to you. This is based on what we've been talking on the show, Law of Attraction.
And being in alignment with that love, especially self-love, is what ultimately draws everything, wouldn't you say, to yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Having unstoppable love towards yourself is the essential secret for manifesting every dream you desire.
Mm-hmm.
When you live from a place of self-love, you automatically you regain that power to magically manifest those amazing opportunities, you know, achieve your financial goals, attract those ideal relationships, and outrageous opportunities come into your life. Absolutely. I mean, you'll be astonished at what happens.
Yes. I think it's ultimately, it's the thoughts and feelings you hold towards yourself that ultimately directs the flow of prosperity. And I think when people really get this, when it really lands within you, that you absolutely know that all your struggles and suffering come from failing to honor yourself, and all abundance and blessings derive from your capacity to fully feel deserving, and you just, when you are embracing that self-love, and I know it's so simple in concept, but it really, it's like you can understand it in your head, but until you've really put it into practice, that you then, you know, just become that, you know, incredible manifester in your life. So that's why I think you and I, you know, have developed this 6-week course, because so many people are saying, you know, yeah, we get it, but we're not really applying it. So
how do you do it? I keep hearing, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you do it? So,
Yep.
Absolutely. So with the program, you receive 6 recorded Power of Self-Love transformational teleseminars. They're about 60 to 90 minutes in length, and will include step-by-step, very easy instructions to literally cultivate this principle into your daily life. It's like we could talk to you all day long about how to swim, but unless you get in the pool and feel the sensation of what it feels like to float, to sink, you know, to do all that kind of stuff in a pool, you won't get it. And it's truly, you know, you can do it the hard way and keep trying to learn how to figure it out and all that kind of stuff, or you can do it the easy way and take the 6-week course that we have available. It's starting on October 4th. And it's every Thursday for 6 weeks, so the 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th, November 1st, and the 8th. And they're at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the evening, 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Most people are back from work by that time. But you receive free recordings of these teleseminars literally the day after. So if there's any courses that you have to miss, you will get the recording within 24 hours. You will receive a private and personal 30-minute coaching session with either myself or Rebecca, and it's up to you to decide who you'd like to work with. And you'll also receive a 6-week self-love activity book that'll outline what you need to do on a daily basis to literally bring this into yourself, change your life, and it literally takes less than 20 minutes a day. It's a phenomenal program, And like I said, we only have, I believe, 3 spots left. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Yes, I think that's right, Christine.
Yeah, okay. And normally when we give these courses in person, it's like a $4,500 course. And we've been offering it for $447, but because the listeners that are on our radio show, we're offering it for $247. So if you would like to join our course, you can go to ChristyWhitman.com, and that's ChristyWhitman.com, ChristyWhitman.com. You can sign up there, or you can send me or Rebecca an email. I'm at Christy@ChristyWhitman.com, and Rebecca is bgrotto at...
I'm actually Rebecca, just Rebecca Grotto, R-E-B-E-C-C-A-G-R-A-D-O at att.net.
Okay.
Or my website, yeah. But an email is great, so... and, you know, if you have any questions or comments or, you know, I really, really can't encourage listeners enough to focus on themselves and to give themselves this, you know, this incredible, you know, I just think it's such an amazing program, Christy, and I know we've had incredible feedback and, you know, from people who have just changed their lives, literally transformed their lives. And I just can't say enough about it. So I really encourage people to, you know, not put it off. I mean, to really think, am I worth this? Do I deserve? Is this the first step in me becoming more deserving in the world? And we all know what the universe responds with when we are deserving. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Give your gift, you know, give yourself this gift because it's an amazing gift, and you will definitely see if you want to really amp up your manifesting and really see what happens in your life. I mean, whether it's bringing in the intention of abundance or self-love or whatever it is, when you're in a high vibrational place, you know, that's when things manifest for you, and that's when you're in the flow, and things can't happen to flow to you, and it literally will be the difference of, you know, all the things that you want to create and allowing you to make those changes in your life so that you literally are in that allowing place. We've talked about it before on the show, that place of allowing. And when you are connected to yourself, when you are connected to Source, which is one and all in itself, you are in that place of allowing. And that's truly where, you know, you can intend all day long, but if you're disallowing or having resistance, you know, your manifestations can't come through. And there's no more powerful way to do it than through self-love. So
absolutely. I know even in, you know, as much as we've worked on this, Christy, even in preparation for this course, oh my gosh, I can feel myself going to an even deeper level of just joy. I just want to say it's just pure, unadulterated joy.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
So that's why I think I'm, you know, apologize if I'm feeling pushy to anybody, but I just so believe in this, that it's like, you know, I just want everybody to be in this place, to reconnect with their most magnificent self, because it's like that's when you're that pure positive force in the world that you end up giving so much back to the world. So I'm passionate about it. Yeah.
Back at you. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today, and it's been an honor, as always. And next week I will actually be off, but Rebecca will be having a wonderful interview with a special guest that we're going to be having, and we'll be telling you a little bit more about that when it's the start of the show next week. So please get in contact with us again, Christy@ChristyWhitman.com if you'd like to sign up, or email me, and RebeccaGrotto@AT&T.net. Thanks so much, everybody.
Bye, Christy. Enjoy New York.
Thank you, Rebecca. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.